Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to the Army Wife Talk Radio podcast. We're created for military spouses and families around the world. We are here to supply you with resources, information, and fun to help you through your military journey. This is episode number 877, and I'm your host, Army Wife Network content curator, Chrissy Gibbs.
And I'm Army Wife Network content curator assistant, Amanda Krieger, joining Chrissy today. We're excited to share new information with you because that's our main focus, preparing you for this military life journey. We always have your back. We're here to bring you the resources you need to thrive in your military spouse life. On today's show, we will listen to an interview conducted by our Army Wife Network owner and commander, Dr. Sharita Knobloch, as she chats with guest Sarah Otto from Ohana Homefront Foundation about military spouse suicide prevention.
Amanda, it's been a while since I've hosted with you. How have things been going?
They're going. We're in the home stretch of deployment. Yay.
Oh, woo.
And snow day. Oh my goodness.
In El Paso, nonetheless, right?
I know. When we moved from Drum and Sharita said that snow happened here, I was like, no. And then it happened. And I was like, what?
It's a different kind of snow, though. It's not a Fort Drum kind of snow.
Oh, definitely not. And we didn't keep our snow gear.
Oh, like, no.
So we were definitely DIYing it. Socks for gloves and...
Oh, my goodness.
Muck boots for snow boots, you know.
Hey, those work. They keep them dry, right?
Yeah.
I will say we had the same problem when we moved here from Florida. We thought the winter was over and we would have some time to, you know, get the winter stuff the next following winter. But they had one final snow in April here last year and we were not prepared. I was sending my kids to school in my winter jackets because I didn't have ones that fit them. Oh gosh, I totally feel you there. The unpreparedness, it's rough. You really want to be prepared.
Yeah, it's hard to be prepared when you don't think that, you know, you're in a place where you should need to be prepared.
I mean, yeah, 300 days of sunshine in El Paso. You're just thinking, oh, we'll never have this snow stuff.
Yeah.
How much did you actually end up getting? Because when I was living there, the most we got was kind of like a dusting that melted by the afternoon.
Yeah, it was slightly more than a dusting, but only slightly.
Maybe an inch, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Would that be pushing it?
Yeah, somewhere around an inch. But El Paso doesn't know how to deal.
No, they don't. Not at all.
It was funny yesterday, you know, like hearing people say that they just didn't know what to do with the snow. And, you know, I need to remember to be more compassionate because
yeah, it's hard.
Not everybody has been in those negative.
They're not familiar. Correct. Yeah. We had a snow day here too. And I was actually surprised because they canceled school the day before the snow actually came. So it was preemptive. And that doesn't always happen in places that actually get snow. You know, like that's not a normal reaction. And so I was like, okay, well, that must be a big storm coming. We were like prepping for this crazy amount of snow. And we kept watching the radar and it was really funny because it was just like, you could see our little dot on the radar and there was just a strip of like nothingness going over us where the snow was on the left and the right, you know, everywhere else was getting it and we were not. So it was like, oh, we get this day off of school and all we got was maybe an inch or two.
Oh, wow.
It was funny, but I mean, to each their own. Everyone still runs the store when they think a storm is coming. And we're just talking about how they have to grab those loaves of bread and milk. And you were saying you go the opposite direction though, right?
Yeah, I was a goofball and bought like ice cream and frozen pizza. And who does that?
Comfort food. It's a comfort thing.
Oh yeah. And it works. Believe me, it definitely works.
When you're stuck inside.
Yeah. And I lucked out that the power stayed on, thankfully.
Oh, yes.
So good to catch up with you, Chrissy. I'm so looking forward to hearing Sharita's interview with Sarah Otto. But before we get started, let's hear all about this week's top stories and need-to-know news from our well-informed News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt.
No news is typically good news in this military life, except on Army Life Talk Radio. Here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Christy and Amanda. Here are this week's top stories. 2,000 U.S. troops have been deployed to Europe, with another 1,700 scheduled to arrive early this week, reported NPR. The troop buildup is in response to Russia building their own armed forces in Western Russia and the Crimean Peninsula. Another 1,000 soldiers stationed in Germany will be repositioned eastward to Romania, which also shares a border with Western Ukraine, said NPR. These soldiers are in addition to the 70,000 permanently stationed U.S. troops in Europe. You can learn more on this rapidly changing situation at npr.org. The military health system is continuing its rollout of the MHS Genesis healthcare system. According to health.mil, MHS Genesis, the new electronic health record for the military health system, provides enhanced, secure technology to manage your health information. When fully deployed, MHS Genesis will provide a single health record for service members, veterans, and their families. Patients can expect to register for a new patient portal, which will allow access to your health information, manage appointments, and exchange messages with your care team. Beneficiaries will use their DS logon to access the portal. You can learn more at health.mil. File your taxes. A new effort from the Biden administration is encouraging everyone to file their taxes, including those who don't traditionally file taxes because their income is very low. President Joe Biden increased the child tax credits to $3,600 annually for each child under the age of 5 and $3,000 for those who are age 6 to 17, reported AP News. Part of the tax credit increase was distributed through monthly payments that began last July and were based on the previous year's taxes. That money is available to those who have filed their taxes. Learn more at apnews.com. The 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, China are in full swing. The games will run through Sunday, February 20th. A total of 10 military members are representing the United States, with 9 planning to compete and 1 as an alternate, reported Military Times. Military athletes are competing in bobsled, Nordic combined, biathlon, skeleton, and luge. AFIS has once again partnered with NBC so military members can watch for free. Simply visit NBCOlympics.com. Choose Exchange as your service provider, then log into your Shop My Exchange account. If you get snagged, I've linked to the AFI's frequently asked questions at armywifenetwork.com. And this week in history, did you know that Valentine's Day has a dark side? During the Victorian era, lovers exchanged valentines. However, if you were in a tiff with your love, or you wanted to fend off an enemy or unwanted suitor, vinegar valentines offered a stinging alternative, according to history.com. The vinegar valentines ranged from a gentle, sassy message to downright mean. Here's an example of one. To my valentine, 'tis a lemon that I hand you, and bid you now skidoo. Because I love another, there is no chance for you. Personally, I prefer a lemon over chocolate for Valentine's Day any year. Hopefully my husband takes note. You can learn more at history.com. Find the links to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thanks to Jolene for seeking out the most relevant news for us each week. We always learn something new. Now we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll hear the interview with Sarah Otto. Can't wait. Stay tuned.
2022 marks AWTR's 17th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 850 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcast app of your choice, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Dr. Sharita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. Now, mental health has been a focus of a number of our podcasts, and it is something I'm also super passionate about. That's why I'm so excited to talk with today's guest, Sarah Otto, about the Ohana Homefront Foundation, or OHF for short. Suicide in our military community is certainly an issue, especially for the families, but it's not really spoken about at the same level as active duty and veterans. OHF's mission is to bring support to the entire military community when it comes to suicide awareness by bringing the talk of suicide to the front for the military community as a whole, while also offering support to all that hold down that home front. Today's guest, Sarah Otto, founded OHF in 2021 with fellow military spouse, Natalie Ely. Sarah is the Armed Forces Insurance 2017 and 2018 NSF Dahlgren Military Spouse of the Year. She has spent over two decades advocating for our military and their families. Her husband, Jay, is a U.S. Navy veteran who retired in 2018 after over 21 years of active duty service. They have three adult kiddos, a brand new granddaughter, two fur babies, and two goats. Sarah, welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio. I cannot wait to get our conversation started today.
I'm super excited too. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's so great to see your organization supporting the entire military community on this issue, and I can't wait to learn more about it. So let's rewind and just start from the beginning. We shared some of your info in your bio, but maybe can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your passion for serving these military families?
Yeah, for sure. So as you said, my husband did 21 and a half years in the Navy. And during that time, I found myself, you know, because I was with him from pretty much day one. As a young spouse, it's really hard to find that number one niche and to find the mental health care that you need for yourself and your mm-hmm. children and your entire family. So in 2008, I became the ombudsman for my husband's ship out of Mayport, Florida, USS The Sullivans. We stick together is the motto. And I can tell you, even in 2022, we still are in contact with quite a few of his shipmates and the command. So it definitely rings true that we do stick together. And I was the ombudsman for 3.5 years and became an actual certified ombudsman trainer for the Navy during that. And I found that even in 2008 to 2011, and on, you know, it's such a stigma, and mm-hmm. that these families need the help and they need to be supported. They need that one person to say it's okay to not be okay. And I kind of became that person. I really believe that just one good smile, one ear to listen makes mm-hmm. all the difference in the military life and in the civilian world. But we know that it's very hard here in our, you know, in the military world. We just don't, we're kind of told that we come in a sea bag in the Navy terms. and that we just kind of do, and we're just supposed to, you know, put on our big girl pants and yep. deal with it. And I don't think it should be that way. I think that that's why people are, our spouses and our children and our active duty and veterans and the whole entire military community, that's why they're suffering in silence, because they're basically told to suffer in silence. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I just really want everybody to know that it's okay to not be okay. So that's kind of where Natalie and I got together. We've been friends for many, many, many years. And she is actually the 2018, I believe it was, 18 was her year, military spouse of the year for Camp Pendleton.
Okay.
And she's phenomenal and great advocate for all families and especially children. She has one child still at home. Her daughter is actually married to a Marine. So that kind of helps too. But we just want to make sure that everybody's taken care of. Because if the home front is not taken care of, then the service member cannot do their job because they're worried about those at home. And those that are at home, if their service member isn't taken care of and is okay, it's hard for them to even worry about anything mm-hmm. at home. They want to be worried about them. So yep. we just want to be there for them as much as we can.
100%. You are, oh my gosh, I'm just telling our listeners right there, there's no way we're going to stay within the time hack of this conversation because this is my jam. I mean, I just spent 2 years writing my dissertation on this topic. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just something, there is still a stigma. Absolutely. It's very slowly like decreasing, but just as you mentioned in your bio, the priority of mental health is so heavily on our service members, our active duty service members, which absolutely important, but .. that spouse is often left as that ancillary secondary component. Mm-hmm. And we do kind of get fed those mantras, those euphemisms, the idioms, whatever you want to call them, keep calm, soldier on, or, you know, take a knee and drink some water, soak it up, buttercup, like resilience, resilience, resilience. And I don't mean to make light of that, because there is something about affirmation and mantras and inner strength, but it also doesn't mean we're defective or broken.
Yeah.
If we experience stress, or a lot of us come into the military world with junk we didn't even know it was like a thing until we're like, boy, I don't feel great, or I really am stressed or anxious or depressed or fill in the blank. So I'm already getting off topic, and it's question one. I'm going to try to focus. All right. So Sarah, tell us, what is Ohana Homefront's foundation's mission?
Oh, this is what I love. So our mission, and this is not set in stone, this is what we came up with in October when we founded it, and it's going to bounce off of this, but this is what we have right now for our mission. So suicide in the military community is an issue, especially for the families, but it's not spoken about at the level as our active duty and veterans. So our mission is to support the entire military community when it comes to suicide awareness by bringing the talk of suicide to the front for the entire military community as a whole, and to offer any support that we can to all that hold down the home front.
I love that. And so this is just, this is kind of like fresh off the press, because this is just a few months old. And so that's really exciting that that's your focus, because and again, I'm probably getting my head ahead of myself, but the research for military spouse suicide is like zero. What, has there been like one or two studies done just in the last couple of years?
Yeah. And I can tell you, so statistics, if we look back, it's very hard to find statistics for our military family. It's, you know, component, the entire military family. We see the numbers. We can even see the breakdown for active duty by branch. We can see, you know, the National Guard, the reservists, the veterans, we can see those numbers. But in 2019, which is the latest that I had, 202 reported, now mind you say, reported suicide deaths among military family members. And 41 of those were service members also. But this is the number that gets me every time. 72 military dependents between the ages of 12 and 23 also died by suicide in 2019. So those numbers are numbers that aren't out there. And that's one thing that we make sure we put at the forefront of everything. I want everybody to know in big numbers and big letters what these numbers are. And these stand for, you know, between 12 and 23. That encompasses all three of my adult children and Natalie's two children. And it's just, it's crazy, you know, to think that. But I also think back to whenever my kids were all in high school, and my middle one and my oldest, they suffered so much, especially my middle one, with bullying. Because we're in that world of, it can go behind, it can be behind a screen, or it can be in real life, or both at the same time. And it gets to be so much, and it's so much on these kids, especially those that move all the time, that they need that safe space. They need somebody. So, I mean, we'll talk about it later on what we're doing to bring help to everybody that we're working on throughout the next couple of years we have on our list. But those numbers are just, they're staggering and they're unacceptable.
They are staggering. And I think, and maybe you agree, my gut says, unfortunately, those numbers,
they're low.
That's what I was going to say. They're super underreported because we're just now starting to try and attempt. Sorry, I'm getting excited. And attempt to like track these numbers and navigating our medical, mental health, our mental medical health system, like with TRICARE and all the, you know, bells and whistles and papers and all this stuff. How many suicide deaths don't get, quote, coded in the system correctly and just fly under the radar? Like, 2019, I mean, we're just starting 2022. So 2019 was 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know, it was maybe, long enough ago.
Maybe 3 years if you want to round up. But I think those numbers are very, very underreported. Mm-hmm. And that as you all continue to press forward with Ohana Homefront Foundation and continue, like research continues to come out, I think that's something that is huge, you know, not just even suicide, like suicide completions, but also suicidal ideation and everything yes. in that, because so many people experience suicidal ideation and we never talk about it because it feels like a failure. Like it feels like the shoulds, we should be stronger. We should be better than this, blah, 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 lie. So, oh man, this is, oh, this is so good. I mean, the content's good, not the situation, but.
Yeah, so, situation's not good. I wish that we weren't needed.
No bueno. I know, right? Needed. Gosh, what a thing. So why Ohana Homefront?
Okay, so this is actually kind of a funny story. So Natalie and I gave her a call and I was like, so I have this idea.
I love conversations that start like this. So I've been thinking.
I know. And she knows whenever Sarah thinks, this is who knows what's going to come out of Sarah's mouth, right?
Right.
So I was like, this is what I kind of want to do. This is what I have the idea for, you know, and I was telling her how I wanted to support the entire military community. And she goes, all right, well, tell me what you need me to do. I was like, all right, so you're going to be my co-founder.
NBD, so, NBD, you're here. Let's do it.
But this is, Natalie and I worked together before on other projects and other nonprofits. So she was ready for this, actually, I think. But we sat down at my dining room table and we sat there for probably a good hour and we were scribbling down what we thought we could call it, you know, all these different things. And she pushed a paper over to me. It was like a, you know, one of those deals. Let's just slide the paper across the table. And she slid the paper across the table. And I was like, well, how about this? Because she said hers was something about Homefront. And I was like, why not Ohana? It means family. Let's do Ohana Homefront.
Oh.
And she's like, huh, that's a very good idea. Because her daughter, who's married to the Marine, they just moved from Hawaii. Natalie and her husband had been in Hawaii for many years. My husband did his last 3 years active duty in Hawaii. So it like made sense to us. Like that was it. And so she was like, yep. And so we never even looked at and thought of another name. Like that was it. Family Homefront.
Yes.
Because that's what we're taking care of. We're taking care of the entire military family from the active duty all the way down and even after retirement and the caregivers. So that's where it came from.
Oh, I love that. And so kind of a side note, like I'm looking at your logo right now. And so listeners, you probably can't see it, but you'll be able to see it on the website when this goes live. You know, it's got like the ribbon that, you know, is pretty typical for the military family, like used to be a yellow ribbon, but it's like this tealish sky blue and purple. It's got three stars and then it's got the square. So can you tell us about the logo? I would love to know more.
Yep. I was waiting for that when she started talking about it. So the colors teal and purple, they represent suicide awareness. That's what you see every time that you've, you know, those are the colors. The stars, so the three stars represent the family unit, parents or guardians and the child. And then squares, so we have the four squares. And the squares at the bottom point, with the bottom point of the ribbon, they represent the home. So if you kind of notice, it gives the little,
That. Oh, I get it. I didn't see that until you said it. It's like the roof of a house with windows.
Yep.
Oh, that's so fun. You guys put a ton of work into that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got all the feels for that. Brilliant. I'm so glad I asked. Oh, best question ever. Oh,
you're not wrong. I think you're probably one of the few people that's ever asked us that question, actually. So thanks for asking.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at it right now and now I'm like, oh, that's a home like down there. Mm-hmm. So
that's a house.
So let's rewind even a little bit further. Where did the idea for starting Ohana Homefront come from?
So I was part of another foundation previously, and it focused on the veterans and more so the veterans than anything else, including the active duty. And I know, and I've heard from so many people that active duty spouses or even hearing from kids or teenagers, you know, we really need somebody to talk to, but it's so hard to get into see anybody, like, especially now since we're getting past the COVID, but you know, it's everybody's backlog. So it's so hard to get in to see somebody. So I was like, so I wanted to have somewhere where it was a safe space and where people could come in, our military families could come in and we could have them a counselor right there pro bono. They don't have to pay a copay. They don't have to pay a dime. Mm. So that's, you know, we're building our counseling team. We have four counselors licensed in 5 states so far. But we're billing and they're all pro bono. So they can call us, you know, or message us, because right now we don't have our phone line, but they can call us or message us and say, hey, you know, I need help with this, or I need to find somebody to talk to, or can I, you know, anything that they need, that we're there for them. I'll kind of go ahead and if you want me to, I'll go ahead and tell you what we're looking towards in 23. I've seen it on Facebook, because, you know, you go on Facebook, you see everything, it seems. And I'm part of a couple PTSD groups. And some of the spouses have posted, you know, my husband, you know, he had all these issues and he called the suicide hotline and he was hung up on, or he was told to contact his psychiatrist the next day. And it burns my biscuits. And so it burns my biscuits. And so Natalie and I, from the beginning, we knew what we wanted to do was to have a hotline, text line, and chat line specifically for our entire military community, that especially the text line and chat line for our younger generation, that they can reach us 24/7. We'll be accredited. We'll have everything, all of our ducks in a row. It costs a pretty penny to do, but we are definitely willing to put the money forward for something where somebody's not going to get hung up on, and know that there is going to be someone there to listen 24 hours a day. And all of our team will be going through training, not just the counselors, so that we can pick up the phone or be on that chat to be able to talk to somebody. So that is our goal by 2023, is to have that up and going. So we're working towards that right now. There's just a lot of red tape when it comes to it, but that is where we want to be. We want to be to the point where we can have a handoff from any of the other suicide hotlines. You know, if the veteran suicide hotline is having that many issues, or they don't have somebody there to work with them, send it over to us. We'll be happy to talk to them. I would rather talk to somebody now and listen to them cry than have to attend their funeral or read their obituary.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely. Wow. I love your heart behind that and how you've taken those past experiences and just things you've witnessed or experienced and really brought it forth and put feet under it to give it, you know, the ability and the wheels to make things happen. So
yeah,
I'm sure that this is a super rewarding, but also challenging experience. So two-sided question, what's the most challenging part of OHF and what's the most rewarding part of working with families through OHF?
So I can actually hit both of those questions with one situation. So when we first started, I set up the Facebook page and we didn't even have a counseling anybody yet at this point. And we were already getting messages. So we knew we were needed. So we kind of hit the ground running at that point and got our counseling team kind of in place. We ended up getting a message from a young spouse. Her husband was active duty or is active duty and in a different state than us and our counseling director. So that kind of posed a little bit of a, you know, gray area for us. But we chatted with her. She had been bullied out in town, and then it went behind the screen, and then it went to them spray painting things on her house.
Oh my gosh.
And my heart broke for her. And so we jumped the gun really quick with her. And our counseling director was phenomenal. She got on the phone with her. There are like 3 pages of notes from talking to her. And our counseling director, Nicole Pingle, she's out of Missouri. She's phenomenal. She actually called a few different places around where this young wife lived and found her a place within 5 minutes of her house that would take her that day. We got a message back from her about 2 weeks later and said that things were going much better. She had a new job, you know, things seemed to be settling down. So, and she was in a much better place in her head. To me, both of those kind of, that one situation hits both of those where it was challenging. Like, how are we going to do this for her? Because we want to help her, even though we're just starting. We need to make sure that she's okay. And it almost got to the point, Natalie and I almost got in the car and drove to her base because we weren't sure how we were going to do this. And it would have been a good hefty trip, but we would have made it happen only because that's what we do. You know, Natalie and I have we mama a lot of people. A lot of the younger spouses could be our kids. But it was so rewarding to hear that, you know, she was taken care of, that Nicole was on the ball with it, and that we were able to get her the help that she needed, even though we couldn't personally help her at that point in time. We made sure that she did get what she needed.
Wow, that's super empowering. And oh, I love how you guys are so intentional about that and how you also are like, we mom a lot of folks. Like I do the same thing. I'm not quite old enough to be the mom for some of these spouses, although I feel like in military years, it ages you differently.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, it's like I joke that it's like dog years. So it's like, oh, you've been married 1 year. Ah, technically, that's more like seven. You've probably been through some stuff. But, you know, it's like, come under my wing. Let me help you. Let me support you with whatever, like, especially in those moments where you're feeling really down or overwhelmed or like this gal, like getting bullied and just emotionally kind of abused by people. Having someone like help fight for you and advocate for you is a game changer, because sometimes you're just so overwhelmed. It's like, I don't have the energy to fight or make these decisions or figure out where to stay or how to find a safe place and that kind of stuff. So sounds like you're, of course, super equipping all of these military spouses through OHF. And it goes without saying that mental health is difficult, of course, to address, but also very, very necessary. I think the more that we talk about it, the easier those conversations become. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Sarah Otto about mental health in the military community. Now, listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Ohana Homefront Foundation, pop on over to their website at ohanahomefront.org, or you can connect with them on social media at Facebook at Ohana Homefront Foundation, Instagram at Ohana_Homefront_Foundation, or Twitter at Ohana Homefront. Now, don't worry if you're mobile, if you're out and about, or maybe your hands are full. If you can't capture those, they will all be outbound live links in our show notes when this podcast goes live. Stay tuned for the rest of our interview after this quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
2022 marks AWTR's 17th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 850 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcast app of your choice, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment. Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotions, podcast audio commercials, Facebook Lives, and so much more. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation with Sarah Otto about the Ohana Homefront Foundation. So let's keep it going, Sarah. Back in 2015, I personally discovered the power of setting healthy boundaries to maintain my mental health, and I've been practicing it ever since. So I think I'm working on year seven, if I'm doing that math right. So let's talk about that. What tips do you have about setting boundaries that you can share with our audience?
Okay, so number one, I would say start small. Boundaries. I'm one of those. I just want to do it all right now.
Yes. The big really sweeping changes. Fix it all. Go.
Do it all. Do it all at once. But no. When it comes to setting boundaries, you need to start small. And make sure that you set them early in whatever relationship or whatever you're working with boundaries. Make sure you set them early in the beginning so that everybody knows that this is what you're expecting. And then also to be consistent whenever you're doing your boundaries. You want to make sure that you are consistent and you keep with those boundaries. You don't like give way at some point and say, oh, no, we don't have to worry about
kidding.
That.
Right.
No. You need to be consistent and everything needs to stay exactly the way you have it. So those are my three major tips. Those are my top three for sure.
I could talk about, I feel like we could do an entire separate podcast about boundaries because that is also my jam. When I discovered boundaries in 2015, it like blew my mind. I was like, oh, this whole list of issues I'm having, no boundaries. Like I'm responsible for all the things and what's up? I don't have to be. And I think boundaries, like the word almost has, It's empowering if you've experienced, but it almost sounds a little negative if you've never done it before. And so one of the quotes that really jumps out to me, because I've been working with some folks about boundaries too, boundaries are not walls. You know, you're not putting up a wall, but instead boundaries just show people where the gate is. like where they can come in and go out, like in
I
and
love
out.
That.
Yeah. It's something that stuck with me because it sounds so like, brr, it's going to be a, you know, 10-foot high concrete barrier with Constantine wire across the top and nobody gets in and nobody gets out. No, it's just a fence to protect yourself, protect mm-hmm. your mental property. And mm-hmm. you have the gate that can open and close, but folks have to come through the gate. Like they can't just yeah. bail the fence. I feel like that's a game changer too. And something that's really resonated with me over the years. So in addition to boundaries, what are some other things that people could do to maintain their best mental health status?
Aside from boundaries, so self-care is a big thing. I talk self-care all the time, and I'm one that I need to learn to practice what I preach. As a mom and a wife and, you know, all these things, especially women are the worst at it, I think. Guys are usually pretty good about, they do their own thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But us as women, we put everything on our shoulders. So self-care is a big one. Even if it's going out for a walk, that kind of leads to the exercise portion, you know, mm-hmm. be active, because that way you're, you know, it gets those endorphins going. Right. And you can kind of do, so that kind of hits a few things though, because if you're active and you're exercising, let's say you get on your Peloton or your treadmill or whatever, and you can, that's self-care right there in of itself, but you can also do some like thinking through some things.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of is a twofold, which is kind of nice. And then set goals, but make sure that they're realistic. Mm-hmm. Not something way out there. Not like, hey, I'm going to lose 80 pounds this week.
Yeah, something that's going to stress you out is counterproductive.
Yes, no stressing yourself out. I'm a list maker. That helps me a lot. Everything, and I'm so OCD about it. Everything is color coded. I use erasable colored pens. Like mm-hmm. it's a little crazy, but, and people sometimes make fun of me for it, but it keeps my brain space completely free.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, because my husband will look at me like, he'd go, okay, so can we close that tab? Because he knows my brain has so many tabs open. Can we just please close that one? That one needs to close now. Talk about your feelings. Sometimes that is easier said than done, especially if it's something difficult or you don't mm-hmm. think it's worth somebody else's time. Or I think everything, talking about anything is everything. My husband also jokes about me how if I'm having a bad day and I can't figure out what it is, he's like, all right, just start talking. You'll eventually round yourself around to
it.
Which is true. You know, and yeah. I do it every single time. And he laughs at me because every time he has to tell me that, yet every time it works. So spending time with friends and loved ones, I think that's a big thing, especially whenever you're having a bad mental health day. You're like, nope, I just want to stay home. But think about those times that you've said that and then you do go out and you're like, oh, that was so nice.
I could feel take so much better. Right.
Yeah. But you know, it's sometimes it's hard to take that step out the door or to put on the clothes, you know, to go out in public or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? And so I personally, especially if I'm going to a friend's house or whatever, I don't care what I look like at that point, as long as I get myself out of the house. Now, if yep. I'm going into public, I will at least make sure that I'm put together, but you know, sometimes my brain won't be, but at least I'll be getting myself out there. Your friends are going to be there for you and your family, no matter what. It doesn't matter what you look like. So right. even if you get out the door in your pajamas and your flip flops, it doesn't matter. They're not going to care as long as you're there.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be glad to see you no matter what you're wearing. Be like, hey, congratulations, exactly. you put on pants. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you put on pants though.
Yeah, right. Details,
that's
details.
That's a details. Those are details. So that's a lot more than one thing, but I think those are the big ones for me.
Yeah. And again, you're preaching to the choir right here because I talk about self-care all the dang time and how like difficult that is for us as male spouses. Again, my husband is great at it. Like, because I think, you know, the difference between men and women, and we're going to generalize, I'll generalize a little bit here. You know, the guys have the boxes in their brain. They're like, oh, that's my work box. That's my family box. This is my workout box. You know, they know how to like open and close their boxes. Our giant brains are just females, ball of wire. Everything's connected. And so there's always something else, someone else that needs something. And putting ourselves first can seem really difficult. Like it's so easy to slip down the priority list, but I'm in a season right now of coming out of something super intense, like finishing my dissertation and being like, boy, I need a minute. I need to recover. And, you know, seeking ways to nurture my soul, like setting those goals for nurturing my soul. I'm going to read every day. I'm going to stay caught up on my planner, like capture it, write it down so that it's not floating around in my head being like, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Like write it down, pin it down. And then the fitness thing, I love how you talk about how it's can be both and, you know, moving your body and then listening to an empowering podcast or riding on, you know, getting on the Peloton and reading a book or listening to inspirational music or whatever you want to do. I'm doing that right now. Like I've, like a lot of my folks PCS'd during COVID and in the dissertation hole, I wasn't able to like make new community. And I was like, boy, where's all my peeps at? Like I have time to socialize again. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of praying like, what does that look like for me? And so I've just joined for the first time ever. Like I've done CrossFit in the past, but never in a gym. I was like, I need community and fitness. Like these are two important things.
Yep.
And this checks both of those boxes. And I love being efficient. Like that's my most favorite thing ever is work smarter, not harder. So,
amen.
Yeah. Right. Like well, how can I accomplish more than one thing at a time? Let's do that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing those tips. And again, I'm going off on a tangent, but that's because I'm really passionate about this and I'm living it right now. Like this is my life.
Yeah.
So let's kind of change the tempo just a little bit here with our conversation. Sarah, share with us how we can talk with someone like starting that conversation, maybe that we notice is having a hard time. How do we begin that conversation?
So focus on them is a big one. So I'll give you two different scenarios, two different ways to respond. So if your friend says, I'm so exhausted all the time, the shift response would be, me too. I haven't been sleeping well at all lately. Mm-hmm. Right. But the support response is, oh, are you not sleeping well? Or maybe do you think that there's something else that could be the cause? You know, that's a whole different, when you think about both of those responses that you could have, the support response is definitely the better one because it's an open-ended, you know, and you're not talking about you. You want to talk about them, focus on them because they're the ones having the problem and not saying, I understand. You have to resist that because how many times do we hear that? Oh, I understand. Mm-hmm. But if you, everybody, let's say we had the same exact thing happen to, you know, you had something happen, I had the exact same thing happen, but they weren't the exact same thing. We both deal, everybody deals with things in different ways.
Yep.
So if I were to tell you, I understand, I may get it, but I don't understand because I don't understand how you feel. You feel different than I do and vice versa. So just let them know that you're here for them. Mm-hmm. If you ever want to talk about that specific thing, whether it's, you know, losing a parent or not being your friend moved or whatever it may be, especially with your kids, I think that's a big one. Resisting the urge to say, I understand, because we've, how many times, at least I have caught myself saying it all the time when my kids were younger. Oh, I was your age once. Mm-hmm. And that is the same thing, just different words. And so them going through one thing, yes, you kind of went through it. You went through the same age, but did you go through the exact same thing? No, you didn't, especially nowadays, everything's different.
Oh yeah.
And when in doubt, ask. Mm-hmm. It's okay not to know what to say or do about a situation, but they might not even know what they want you to say or what they want you to do. So if you're not sure, just ask them. So here's a few things you could say. How can I best support you?
Mm-hmm.
What are you in the mood for right now?
Yeah.
Or do you want to talk about it? Or how are you feeling about it? Like those are some big things. You know, you don't want to overstep boundaries. You don't want to just start giving advice or thoughts because, or, you know, maybe they just need to vent, you know, like going back to where my husband's like, just start talking. Eventually you'll get to where you need to be, that kind of thing. And if they want to be alone or if they want company, because how many times do people push themselves on others when they just need that time to be by themselves for, you know, maybe a day, maybe a week, who knows? I remember in 2009, my aunt passed away and my cousin and I are the only ones without siblings. I wasn't able to make it home for the funeral, but I didn't want to bother her. So I didn't call. I waited. And a few weeks later, my phone rang and it was her and she was ready to talk. I didn't want to get in her business. I knew that she was grieving. I was grieving. You know, I didn't almost want to be dealt with. I was grieving. This woman that I grew up, she was my dad's the oldest of seven. She was the youngest of the seven. Like, she was amazing. And I didn't want to be bothered. So I knew my cousin didn't, you know, so give them time for whatever it is. Ask them if they want to be alone or if they want company, because again, everybody's different. Some people may not want to be alone,
right?
But some people may. They need that time to grieve and, you know, process or deal with things on their own. Yeah, to process. So then, easy on the fact finding questions. They can divert the conversation away from what a person really wants to talk about to what the asking person wants to know. So if you don't want to divert it to what you want to know. Don't make it fact-finding. Just let them talk. And they'll tell you what they want you to know. And know that there's no shame in a genuine, "I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
You know, "I'm sorry for your loss," or, "Oh, friend, I am so sorry." You know, and those are five things that people just don't think about. You know, the being alone thing to me is the big one.
Yep.
But those are my top five, I guess you would say, of things when it comes to starting conversations, and to know to make it about them and keep yourself out of it. Focus on them and their sadness or whatever is going on. Those are the things.
Those are really good. I think it makes you think a lot. Like, I hope our listeners are thinking. It makes me think, like, how I frame things, you know, with folks that are struggling, or when I coach people or anything like that. You know, gosh, that sounds super hard. How can I support you right now? Like, in what ways can I help? Like, keeping it open, so they're like, you know, not the close-ended, like, "Can I help you?" Because it's super easy for them to be like, "No," or they, you know, or they might also say like, "How can I help you right now?" And they're just like, "I don't know. I don't know what to do." And I'll be like, "Okay, yeah. If something comes to mind, like, I'm here to support you. I don't want, you know," I'm always like, "I don't want to pressure you." You know, and if people are going through a loss, it's always like, "Oh my gosh, do I talk to them? Do I not?" I'm a person, I like to send a text, like one text with no pressure and no expectation. And it literally, you know, because that way, if they don't want to talk on the phone, I was like, you didn't have to respond. But I think it's so important, at least, to let them know that you care and you're thinking about them. Don't what you said, don't go on a fact finding, like, "Oh my gosh, what happened?" Like, that's the worst. Be like, "Hey, person's name, I'm so sorry to hear about such and such. I want you to know that I'm praying for you, and seriously, let me know how I can help. Love you," whatever, you know, whatever. Like, if you want to get together, let me know. Otherwise, zero pressure, I'm here. Because I think when it comes to grief, and we've talked about this a few times on the podcast, people kind of freak out sometimes, and they'll be like, "Oh, they just," some people do want to be left alone. Absolutely. But also, hey, if you need me to like help with the kids, hit me up. If you just need a minute, just being there, like, "I'm sorry for your loss," or, "I'm sorry for what you're going through. How can I help?" It can be so empowering.
That, and I always, I come from a family where we send food for everything. And so I'm one of those that I will either order food for you, or I will send you, now that we have like Grubhub and all those things, I'll send you DoorDash. A gift card, you know, do your own thing. But let's make sure that everybody in your house is fed. And this is one less thing that you have to think about.
Yeah. That's my phrase, is one less thing. You're like, later they're like, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much." I was like, "Hey sis, it was one less thing on your plate." Like,
amen.
One less thing. And the cool thing about Grubhub, DoorDash, yada, yada, Uber Eats, all the things is that they don't really expire. Like, they last a long time. And so after the funeral, or after the healing, or, you know, the loss or whatever, a couple weeks later, when it hits them and everybody else has gone back to their quote real lives, "I just don't want to cook tonight." Oh,
yeah.
That's when it comes into play to be like, "I have an out. Like, I have some support that I need," like delayed support instead of the instant gratification. So
yeah, I will never forget whenever my husband, because he did his last 3 years unaccompanied in Hawaii while the kids and I stayed in Virginia, and because they were in high school and we made that decision. The Navy didn't, we made it, which was made it a little bit easier. And when he came home in August of 18, a friend of mine from high school, mind you, I graduated high school in 1998, and she sent me a gift card through email for dinner so we could pick up dinner. We didn't have to worry about it when we got home. And I mean, that was one less thing I had to worry about. Like, I was stressed all day. His flight got shifted. You know, like, there are all these things in play, and I was already stressed to the max. I almost didn't get to the airport in time. You know, all of these things that we deal with in the military world. And it was just one less thing. You know, I didn't have to say, okay, well, now I got to drive the hour and a half home, and then I got to figure out what I'm going to make for dinner because I have three kids, you know, and all these other things going on. So it was so nice. And it, so that's another thing, you know, homecomings or, you know, deployment days. Those are definitely big days that our military families need all the support that they can get. Because there are some that don't have kids, so they don't go home so they go home to an empty house. You know, make sure that you invite them over for dinner if you're with them. Like, just say, hey, we're going to play some cards. We're going to have some good food. Why don't you come over and hang out with us for tonight? You know, that was one of the biggest things. Whenever we lived on base down in Florida, that was amazing. You know, we would all get together. A lot of us spouses, all of us were from the Sullivans. We would just get together that night. That was our thing, you know, and cry, laugh, talk, whatever we needed to do. But we were all there for each other. And finding that community is big.
Absolutely. That's what got me through our last deployment, because we moved to Fort Bliss and it's like, hey, you're deploying, which we kind of already knew. But it's still like, oh, my gosh, like, I got to pivot pretty quickly. And you know, I met someone, a girl that a fellow mom that was military, and every Friday she just came over to our house and I was like, join our chaos. Like, I didn't clean for her. I was like, the floors are sticky because I got a 1.5-year-old and there's juice. Like, this is what we do. And she had a 1.5-year-old, almost 2-year-old. So it was just chaos. But there was something so beautiful about just let's eat together, let our kids go nuts for a couple hours and just be with people. Like, she got me through that deployment, and we are still best stinking friends. Like, I flew to Ohio this summer to be with her when she had her second baby. I was like, cause her husband was gone, you know? And I was like, all right, we're gonna, you know, I've done the two kid thing. Like, mean Aunt Sherita is coming in. I'm not really a mean aunt, but I was like, I'll help you discipline your kid. Like,
I got this.
Bring me your 6-year-old. Like, we'll have to go to timeout if we have to, cause I know that's not your favorite thing. So there's something so beautiful about that community.
There is.
Well, Sarah, I'm curious, if folks wanted to support OHF, how can they get connected and make that happen?
Oh, goodness me. There's so many different ways. And there's more than just, you know, the monetary part of it. So volunteer, we have spaces for everybody. We're actually building state ambassadors right now. So, this was something we kind of came up with on the fly, which is something you'll learn about OHF. We are good. If you want to volunteer, we will make up something for you. If you have it, something that you're good at, we will find that position and make it happen. So we're working on those. We have an events team, an outreach team. So just volunteer. We're also working on building our board of directors. So if you're interested in having a vote for what we do, that's also a good option. You know, events, like, we have a ton of those on the books. So in February, if you were in mid-Missouri, which my husband and I are from Jefferson City, Missouri originally, it's a text. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. We'll have to talk later. Sorry. That's where I worked. That was the first place I worked after I graduated.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Straight up.
So the Texas Roadhouse in Jefferson City on February 21st, it's a Monday, it's President's Day. They are between 3 and 9 p.m. There's a flyer on our website and our Facebook, and there's an event on our Facebook. It's everywhere. They're going to donate 10% of all food if you show that flyer back to OHF. Yeah. And then our Missouri rep and our ambassador, sorry, I just want to say rep for everything. Missouri ambassador and our counseling director are both going to be there with a table also to answer questions or if anybody was curious what we do, stuff like that. And then if you're in Virginia, which is where we are now, there's a Back Porch Vineyard in King George, Virginia, and we are having a shop sip support day on March 12th from noon to 5. And there's going to be a car show. There's going to be live music, a food truck, vendors, just all the fun things. It's a fun family day. I will give a plug for Leashes of Valor. They are literally five minutes up the road from me in middle of nowhere, Virginia. And they are phenomenal. So if you've never heard of Leashes of Valor, I recommend you look them up. On our Facebook, there's a whole video. I talked to one of the co-founders the other day, and they do service dogs, and they're amazing. Mm-hmm. So they're going to bring some puppies out for us. Also, so that's super exciting. So there's those, you know, events, different things. And then donations, obviously, that's always a good thing. We use Grapevine for ours, so you can set up recurring giving. And sometimes during the year, they do a match. Like if you donate $50, they'll match it with another 50, stuff like that. So they're pretty good. Then shop, we have a cafe press shop with our logo with different products, or on different products, I should say. And then sharing, because sharing is caring. So on Facebook, Instagram, we're also on LinkedIn and YouTube, anything, you know, anything that you find that speaks to you, share it. Mm-hmm. Because the more people see it, the, you know, they may not need our services right now, but you never know, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years down the line, they're going to be like, I heard about these people that I need to get a hold of, you know, and they're like, wait, who was it? So sharing is a big thing, and it doesn't cost anything to hit share.
Absolutely.
So that's a big thing. So those are our big things. And it's in the pinned post on our Facebook page also. So all the links are there. You can just click and go. Makes it super easy.
Oh, that's so cool. I love all the events, and I love how so many ways to get involved in support. Not only just donations. Of course, we want to encourage that because that's what mm-hmm. keeps the lights on and keeps things going. But also, like, I can donate $5 a month recurring and also give some time to fill in the blank, you know, to support OHF. Well, can you remind our listeners as we get ready to wrap up the conversation where they can go to find even more empowering information about Ohana Homefront Foundation and your resources?
Yeah. So again, all the social medias we are part of, literally every single one of them. We are on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, you know, Twitter, and then our website, ohanahomefront.org. And you can find all those links on there too. And then, you know, we also are building a resources base on our website as well. So you'll have different links for not only national, but also state and local and all the things that we need when it comes to military families, because we also know that we're not always right at a base. Sometimes we're kind of away. My husband recruited out of Jefferson City, and everybody looked at me crazy when I said my husband was active duty Navy in the middle of Missouri.
Where's the water? I don't understand. Yes.
I'm like, yes, they bring the destroyers down the Lake of the Ozarks.
Right. No, right up there.
I did joke about that. I did joke, and people actually believed me, but I was like, joking.
Oh, you should have kept that going. That'd have been way fun.
I should have. But there's many, many resources and all of that. If anybody ever finds a resource that they think is amazing and we need to add, please don't hesitate to send it over. My email is president@ohanahomefront.org. That is the fastest way to get a hold of me, other than our Facebook page. And I will make sure that it gets put out there because we all have resources. You know, we're uncovering some that we didn't know existed in this search. So it's kind of neat to see what there is out there that most people have never heard of.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so good. Oh, I've had such a good time chatting with you, Sarah, and I'm
so
inspired. And again, clearly this is my jam. Like, we could talk all day, but the rest of my team will be like, wrap it up, sis. Like, So of course, our primary mission here at Army Wife Network is empowerment. We always love to hear what empowerment means to our guests. So as we conclude, can you tell us, Sarah, how would you complete the sentence, empowerment is?
So to make choices and to transform them into the desired outcomes.
Oh, that's good. Empowerment is to make choices, but then take it further and to transform them into desired outcomes. Gosh, Sarah, I cannot thank you enough for coming onto the show and sharing your message. As always, we just thank you so much for serving our entire military community, being so intentional, passionate, and creative about serving military families and specifically focusing on their mental health and suicide awareness.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now we're going to swing back over and check in with our hosts in the studio to get their thoughts on today's conversation with Sarah Otto of Ohana Homefront Foundation. Back to you, ladies.
Empowerment is to make choices and to transform them into desired outcomes. Thanks again to Sarah Otto for joining us this week and sharing information about Ohana Homefront Foundation. Again, if you'd like to connect with Ohana Homefront Foundation, check them out on their website, ohanahomefront.org. And don't worry if you miss their social media handles, because you can find them in our show notes on armywifenetwork.com. Amanda, let's hear it. What are your thoughts about this interview?
Oh my goodness. This was incredible.
Yeah.
I'm a bit choked up now, having listened to it.
Yeah. A little emotional.
Yeah. It is a really big deal.
It's something, and she mentions it quite often, but you know, it's not talked about enough. It really is like skirted under the rug, and it needs to be open wide for everyone to see, like, this is normal. People are dealing with this.
Absolutely. I mean, like, think about it. Most civilians don't get married and expect to be away from their partner all the time, or
not at all.
And that's what we as military spouses expect and basically wait for.
It's not something, as much as people want to say over and over, like, oh, you knew what you were getting into when you got married. And it's kind of like, yeah, we knew it was a possibility to not be around our spouse, but we didn't know how to handle it. You know, no one taught us that.
Exactly. Even for those who were military kids growing up, like, it's totally different to be the spouse, and very difficult emotions on either end, whether being the military kid or the spouse. But to have to be the one holding down the home front while your spouse is away, and dealing with all of the things that household six requires, it's a lot.
It's so much, I know.
And you never know what's going to happen while your spouse is gone. Like,
Murphy's Law is a thing. You can't prepare for everything. That's so true. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't prepare for it all. I do, really, really quick, touching back on the kids part. I loved some of the examples that she gave on kind of how to check in on your kids and actually connect with them, more so than just saying, like, you know, I've been there, kind of. Like, I loved her rephrasing of those, just because my kids are getting older and I feel like it's hard to connect with them and make sure that their emotions are being heard and, you know, everything that they're feeling is coming out, so I'm able to handle it and help them through it. But, I don't know. I'm just definitely going to be using some of those examples.
Yeah, absolutely. And something I've learned with my own child through this, our first deployment, is that, you know, the emotions go up and down, like, day to day.
Yeah, they do.
One day it's fine and perfectly happy and just excitedly talking about something he wants to do when his dad gets home, and then it could be later that day or the next day when he's super missing him and needs to talk to him right now, or could be a day when he's like, it's too hard. I can't talk to him right now because I want him here. You know, like, he doesn't say it quite like that. He's four.
Right. It's hard to express that.
Yeah. In the four-year-old way, he'll express that. And I learned very quickly not to push thoughts and my feelings on him, you know, just to let him tell me what it is he's feeling and wanting and needing, and just respecting that.
Yes, that's awesome. Makes sense. Yeah, and on that same page, I mean, it's not just the kids who have the same roller coaster, or who have these roller coaster, you know, emotions. Like, I feel like as a military spouse, day to day, same thing. Like, there are good days and there are bad days. There are days when I'm just riding high, everything's going well, and then the next day, who knows? Like, everything can change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've experienced that both during this deployment season and when my husband's been home. And I wish, truthfully, and I think the community needs, as Sarah was talking about during the interview, to be more open about that fact.
Yeah.
Like, a few years ago, I was struggling a lot with all of the unknowns and just the challenges of military life. And I had to learn to accept help. You know, I had to be okay with going to counseling and going on medication and even going inpatient for a couple of days. But had I not forced myself to recognize that it's what I needed, I mean, I don't know. Like, not saying that I would have done anything, right. But
that downward spiral, it could just keep
going.
Yeah,
that downward spiral is just something that can happen when you're not well taken care of, or if you let other people's opinions get to you, like the idea that you can't have a hard time and that you have to put your big girl pants on, it's really toxic, in my opinion.
It is. It's important that people know that, it's okay to not be okay.
Like,
accepted. And there are people who are around that would love to help if you're willing to take it. But
exactly.
Shun that idea. Like, ugh.
I know. And then, so when Sarah was talking about, during this interview, that there was the one military spouse that messaged them on Facebook and talking about a situation of bullying that she was going through, and that they almost got in the car to go help her out. I was just like, wow, that's really amazing. That's when you know that there are people who will help you out, will have your back.
Yes, genuinely want to help.
But I really think that the military community, just we need to accept that more. Like, we need to be able to accept help.
And maybe when someone's struggling and reach out.
Yeah, exactly. That's for sure. And the tips that she gave for how to reach out and to show compassion and not turn it back on yourself of like, oh, I know what you mean, or I know how you feel.
I was definitely taking notes.
Right? Me too. Yeah, I'm definitely bookmarking this episode and coming back to it.
For sure.
So that brings us up to speed with our current military life resources. Speaking of resources, this week's Resource Recon is all about our latest social media scoop. Last month, the command team was sharing some of their big dreams for the new year, and one post that really seemed to interest our followers was an image of our podcast assistant, Annie Pierce, and her son, Owen, in the snow. She was holding a sign that said, "Go for a hike," she said. "It'll be fun," she said, kind of poking fun at her big dream to spend 1,000 hours outside, and it's frigid cold and snowy up at Fort Drum.
We were just talking about this. Oh gosh, the snow, it's ruining it.
But that Annie is going for it and trying is huge, because when I was at Drum, I was inside a minimum of 6 months out of the year.
That's how New York is.
Yeah.
Crazy. I will say I have the same goal this year, the 1,000 hours outside. And I was looking ahead, kind of thinking, okay, if I can get 1 hour each day in January, February, and March, and then maybe in April, I can get 2 hours each day. I would raise it up as it got warmer outside.
Yeah.
But I didn't even get every single day in January. So I'm kind of at this point where I'm like, okay, now I have to get 7 hours every day in July.
Oh my gosh.
I'm still going to keep trekking along though. I'm going to keep going. It's more about just getting your kids outside, not staring at a screen all day, kind of getting that fresh air. It's just, it does help you. I will say, I did that whole male spouse empowerment moment about how to get through the winter. It does help to go outside and breathe in fresh air. So that is my one goal. I'm like, I'm just going to keep trucking along with it, whether it's cold or not, whether I can feel my face or not.
Yeah, you're brave, because me and snow and being outside in the snow, no thank you. But
thankfully we're not in Alaska or anything. I have so much props for people that are in Alaska. I see pictures all the time. It's like negative whatever degrees and they're still outside. So I'm always like, go you.
Yeah. Go best friend, right?
Yeah, go best friend. Well, I may be a little biased, but I think our social media is super fun and engaging. Listeners, if you're interested in staying up to date and entertained with our videos, giveaways, and trivia, then you can find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram at Army Wife Network.
Our final amazing resource for today comes from our empowerment agent, Amanda Bickneath, with our Empowerment Patrol Platoon Member of the Month. Whew, that's a mouthful. Also known as our top fan of Army Wife Network. Let's listen in.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bickneath, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today we are showcasing Army Wife Network's Platoon Member of the Month, which means someone who is positive and empowering on our social media. With that, we'd love to recognize Morgan Farr. Morgan is a Texas-loving, succulent-cultivating book nerd and aspiring author. As an Army wife of 8 years, Morgan has learned to lean heavily on Christ as she walks this military life. Morgan and her husband have 4 children, ages 7, 5, 3, and 1, and 2 fantastic dogs. As a jack of all trades, Morgan is always working on projects. When she isn't homeschooling her children, writing for Christian publications, or training her Dutch shepherd, Morgan can be found listening to Texas country music while she is crafting, lifting weights, or reading. Morgan is best known for her structure, discipline, and organization. Using these skills, Morgan helped her husband build an awesome garage gym ministry called Far Fitness. While they are stationed in Philadelphia, they are on sabbatical from the gym ministry and look forward to starting it back up at their next duty station. You can connect with Morgan on her blog at morgandfarr.blogspot.com and on all major social media channels using her handle Morgan D. Farr. Thank you so much again to Morgan Farr for showing your amazing support for Army Wife Network and empowering other male spouses. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bickneath, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Congratulations, Morgan. Amanda B. will be in touch with you soon to hook you up with some fabulous Army Wife Network swag. Also, you'll now have a permanent place on our website in our Empowerment Gallery. Thanks for your engagement with our network.
Well, Amanda, I have enjoyed hanging with you today, but we are nearing the end of this episode, and I just want to thank the listeners for sticking with us to the end. We hope you enjoyed this episode and plan to subscribe to the podcast so you can keep up with any future episodes like our Male Spouse Empowerment Moments that are live on Facebook each Thursday at noon Eastern. Next week, we'll also hear from Chaplain Owen Chandler about his book, Bridge in Babylon, Stories of a Military Chaplain in Iraq. This sounds like it's going to be quite a captivating interview. I cannot wait to listen.
I'm really excited for it too. And one more very important note. If you know someone that may want to connect with our listeners and join us in our mission to empower military families, let's chat. Shoot an email over to empower@armywifenetwork.com and we'll get that conversation started.
Well, listeners, please remember that we are here to help you navigate your military life journey. No matter what comes your way, Army Wife Network is ready to help you out. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.